For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi.
We've all heard the phrase, actions speak louder than words. But when someone's actions, or in this case, inactions, lack of actions, are screaming red flags, the world watches Chris and Roberta Laundry stayed silent, refused to help find their missing future daughter-in-law, and then conveniently found their son's remains in record time after a 37-day manhunt by hundreds of people. But what do their behaviors actually tell us? Were they just scared parents protecting their child, or were they coldly executing a plan? Today, we're looking at the psychological and behavioral patterns of the Laundries through the lens of someone who spent his career studying just that, deception. Former FBI special agent and behavioral analysis expert Robin Drake. Because if anyone can tell us whether these people were just socially awkward or full-blown obstructionists, Tim. Robin, from a behavioral standpoint, when you look at the Laundries and their response to this case, and we're all getting a fresh review of it again with the new Netflix documentary that's out there and seeing the depths of it in the ways that we've never seen before, the silence, the inconsistencies, the burn after reading letter. What does that tell you? Were they emotionally detached, or were they actively trying to deceive investigators? What do you think?
Yeah, so what their actions are actually saying at those last moments, that's the challenge, because if we knew exactly that, we would know where to move from here, whether charges, no charges, and that kind of thing. But I'm kind of going back further than that, because as soon as this thing popped up again, the first thing that entered my mind is, as always, behavior arcs. And there's no one, especially because we have letters and correspondence going between the son and the mother.
Yeah.
It shows that there's enough of a closeness of relationship between the son and the parents that the son and the parents would know behavior patterns in someone's life. So there's hard to think and imagine of a situation where the parents didn't know the behaviors of their son well enough throughout his entire life to know when he's had a bad day, to know when, and to not, and to also completely know he has spikes of anger. And so they've seen him throughout his entire life. And I guarantee you this, that, you know, normal day. Oh, he's had a bad day, spikes of behavior. He probably has a lot of rage, a lot of anger, most likely guaranteed directed at him. I'm directed at them from time to time. So they've known what it looks like and know what his behaviors look like after it. And also from what we've seen from the son, that he has remorse after those spikes of behavior. You know, he's seen, you know, like the bystander saw, you know, him and her hugging, that they're crying together. I mean, so there's a sense of remorse he has after these abhorrent behaviors, at least as reported by a lot of folks. And so his parents most likely saw that as well. And so leading up to the murder of the beautiful little young girl, everything's younger to us, right?
Yeah, Gabby, yeah.
I guarantee you his parents saw the same pattern of behavior. And then when you have a disappearance of the fiance and the same pattern of behavior, where's your brain going to go? The worst case scenario. So, but now what they were actively doing, my question that I'm not sure of is those actions after they saw that spike, as they've seen throughout his life before, did they go into preservation mode for him or themselves? That's because the fact that they were able to find his body after a suicide and no one else could, that's what's really interesting to me is that.
Well, and you look at their, I mean, it's so peculiar what their actions were when he came back and Gabby did not. And the parents find out, Gabby's parents find out he's back with her van. The parents won't talk to them. They say, go contact our attorney. And he won't talk to them, and their daughter is missing. And they're just like, well, hope they find her. That to me was insane. I mean, I don't know if they're just blindly following the advice of their attorney, which maybe they were, but the incredible lack of empathy there, it just really says something. I mean, and again, we were just talking on another case about the Koberger case and people on the autism spectrum, and I'm not saying that they are. I have no idea, but we're quick to go to, oh, they're psychopaths. I wonder if they're all on the spectrum and just that empathy thing ain't there. And when it came to finding out that your son has returned without his girlfriend and she's probably dead, I'm going to guess he maybe confessed to them at some point in time. So I'm going to guess they probably knew. Again, my conjecture, they've never been convicted of anything or charged with anything. Their reaction is that peculiar. Just keep going on with their life. Protect our little circle here. But their action wasn't just let's you know, get in our cocoon here and lock our doors. They went camping. They went on a family camping trip right after he returns while Gabby is missing. And then shortly after that, he goes off into the woods and kills himself. I mean, is this some weird, sick family that has just utterly bizarre ways of coping with this? And they thought, well, let's get one more happy trip in. I mean, almost how people on, you know, Make-A-Wish, let's go to Disney World, right? You know, before it's all over. Is that like, were they kind of just accepting, you know, the best path here is for Brian to kill himself, not face the light of his actions, and then fade away into the ether that way? And let's go make some s'mores beforehand.
So my conjecture on it is that their brains broke in that moment. I think they knew what the reality was without even speaking the words, just because they saw the pattern of his life. So it's easy for them to draw a conclusion without even knowing without him even saying a word. They knew exactly what happened. And I think at that moment, I mean, put yourself in the moment and deep active empathy context of something so abhorrent that you knew was a pattern of his behavior of his life that you then allowed to happen because of your inaction throughout his life, and your brain breaks. And anytime I typically see a lot of chaotic moves that don't make a lot of sense, the most likely conclusion I have is that the person doing those things is actually chaotic in their brain. I don't think there was a lot of really good coherent thought going on, because it can't. I think their brains got so broken in that moment, they went in complete fight or flight. Without any, because remember, they have no reps in this.
Yeah.
They only have reps in mitigating a bad day in him and tell him to shut up, go to your room, or whatever their system was, help calm him down after he did something really abhorrent to someone through his words and through his actions. And so they had reps at that, but they didn't have reps on this.
Yeah.
And so I think if I'm a parent in that kind of situation, and again, everyone's got some sort of crazy in life, but if they're, for the most part, like Moses, fallen within the normal parameters of human behavior, they're not going to do something so wacky. They're just going to react like a majority of people would react, and that is, they don't know what the hell to do. I literally don't think that. I think they got scared. I think they were disgusted. I think they were fearful and disbelieving, not wanting to believe. I think there's so many a hodgepodge of emotions that were creating such chaos in those brains, and then they have the chaos of a small group thing going on as well, where they had multiple ideas on what to do. So maybe they went camp. My idea when I first heard it was they went camping to try to clear their brains without any outside distractions to come up with a plan.
Yeah, I mean, and there was protesters outside the home. Wasn't exactly a great place to be staying at that moment either. That's something to consider. It just the callousness, you know, to the families of Gabby is what I think really stuns everyone still to this day. And still, it's hard to wrap your mind around it. I mean, it really, really is. But again, that's the situation. I mean, what would you do? Your child that you love and you care about and you raised, and you know he's got, you know, some anger issues here, and you read the tea leaves and, oh God, this is what we're doing. I don't know how I'd react either. I mean, I don't think anybody does until they're in that sort of situation.
And you said a great word there. You know, you said the word callous. Mm-hmm. How do calluses form? Calluses form over reps of time, you know, because once you do something once and you have soft skin, you know, then it's ouchy. You know, but if the more you do the same thing again and again, a callus forms. And so when someone has a callous behavior, and they're not on a psychopathy spectrum, mm-hmm. again, not licensed clinician, but if they have a life rep of arcs of dealing with their son treating people really poorly, they're callous to his behavior's impact on others because they've dealt with it so much before. And like, and also to like you said, what are they going to do? What could they possibly say? So in other words, I don't necessarily think they were – boy, it's hard to say. I don't want to do this because I don't want to demean the impact on the victims. And this one, the only ones left of the family. I don't necessarily think it was about them and their callousness towards them. I think they are just callous because of their son's behavior over time.
Yeah.
So I think they've been immunized against his own behavior because they've dealt with it for so long. Mm-hmm. Again, no one goes from 0 to 100. This was not their son all of a sudden snapping, having a psychotic moment and doing this. This was a pattern of his life's behavior. Yeah. And they let it happen because for some reason – they thought it was fine that they go off together, get engaged, and go van life and try to be vloggers on van life together.
Mm-hmm.
They knew, whether they want to admit it or not, where that was most likely going to end because it's happened before.
Yeah. And I think a lot of parents, I'm not in any way trying to lessen what the behavior was here, but I think there's a lot of parents who have kids in that age range where, yeah, they're just kind of, they're loose cannons. They're out there and you hope that they come back. You hope that they somehow do it. And it's not necessarily all the time because of a lack of good parenting. I think a lot of times it is, but sometimes you just get the odd duck that's just going to do what they're going to do. And you try to keep them on this path, but there's something in them that continues to drive them away. And at some point, you know, he was an adult where you might just go figure this out. And there's also
potential for a lot of hope there. Anytime you have, you know, especially someone you care so deeply about on such a bad path, you have hope that maybe Gabby's the one that can save him.
Yeah. She's a good influence. I could totally see that as well. Maybe she'll get, you know, and I think with, you know, I think a lot of young men have that sort of, you know, uber macho feel to them or their belief system because of how they were brought up and what they think a man should be like. And then they start to get into the world more. And I think a lot of young men grow out of that and they, you know, their hormones also adjust a bit and they come into going, that's not a great way of behaving. And I wonder, you know, had time continued, had this incident not occurred, you know, if he would have eventually matured out of that and you know, this could have been a totally different story, but something went horribly, horribly wrong. And then that prevented any further growth from happening.
I don't know. You know, you'd like to think that at the same time.
See, I'm being glass half full and you're being glass half empty.
Yeah, I know. Well, because we got a pattern of behavior of his life.
True.
You know, and without something to mitigate it and a change in his life, an awareness, a counseling, a therapy, something, why would it change? Because he was having an escalation of these behaviors throughout time.
Yeah.
And, you know, one relationship with a girl, and that's why I think, you know, his – again, pure conjecture. I think his parents might have been hoping that this is the one that'll kind of snap and bring him back. But it all comes down to this one thing too that we've seen repeatedly in all these cases, especially with the younger people that are involved in this, is total lack of problem solving skills.
Yeah,
he went from zero to violence.
Yeah,
repeatedly.
Yeah. No, I totally hear you. To answer, like, what would have changed him if Gabby would have left and not been murdered before she left? I think that sometimes that's a wake-up call for young men like that, when, like, they finally realize their actions are not going to, you know, work in the world with somebody that you care about or that you think you love. I think a lot of people have that change in that sort of way. But again, you have to be open to it and you have to recognize, hey, maybe there's something wrong with my personality and the way I'm treating people before you can ever have that that sort of moment, if
and,
you will.
You know, and I mean, we've each had friends like this, and I've had friends like this. You know, I love human behavior, and I there's plenty of friends in my life that we've had conversations where, you know, someone's going through a tough time, a tough spat. And, you know, when you can have a conversation with someone and you kind of talk them down off that, you know, psychological ledge of anger and resentment and all the negative emotions, you know, from a good conversation with a close friend, that should take hold.
Yeah.
And the next day they should feel a little bit better. Things should be starting to be on the track. But I had one friend that I'd had this kind of conversation with. And next day he came, you know, and at the end of that conversation, he's feeling great, motivated, goes back. And the next day he comes in, is on that negative track again. Yeah. And we have another conversation. He's you know, drawing that energy like the energy vampires that we've heard.
Yeah.
But again, because I'm loving, compassion, good friends, and I talk him down off that psychological ledge again, and he's feeling good the next day. And it repeats a third time. And I said, friend, this is something more than a good conversation can solve. This is something more than a good friendship can solve. I said, I really highly encourage you to seek some professional help because I think there's something more going on. Mm-hmm. And he did. He had the courage. He went to talk to a psychologist as well as a psychiatrist who said, we got a tiny little imbalance here. Let's try this tiny little medication just to see if we can correct, you know, the emotion first, and then we'll start working on counseling. And then the counseling with some good professional counseling over a period of time, we should be able to get you off the medication.
Yeah.
Because that's what this whole team has. And exactly that. He went in, he got diagnosed. He's like, oh my God. He came back to me next day. He goes, wow, I have X, Y, and Z. Thank you so much for being that good friend, because it took more than good parenting, a good friend, a good conversation, and that's what we do for folks. You know, it's like, hey, a good conversation with a good friend can mitigate a lot. A good girlfriend is what the parents might have been hoping for, again, conjecture, was that this relationship will solve the problem, but I got a feeling there's a lot more going on than that. It needed a lot more professional help than he ever got.
Yeah, I completely agree.
If true crime is your obsession, we've got you covered. Press subscribe now to the Hidden Killers podcast and True Crime Today for nonstop coverage, expert insights, and in-depth analysis.